Tonight, as we come to the book of Revelation once again in chapter 21, several of the comments that we've been looking at, I've been looking at from Mark Hitchcock's book On the End, along with many others, but in particular, tonight I want to shed light on some of the things he speaks about in chapter 21 and 22, the new heaven and the new earth. Now, one of the views that we've been studying is the premillennial view, the pre-tribulation. But among premillennialists, there are two subgroups, and I've alluded to this last Wednesday night. Among the premillennial group that we've been studying, there is a group that is the historical premillennialist. Now, that group normally does not distinguish between Israel and the church. And they believe that the church will remain on the earth throughout the tribulation. But the other group, the other subgroup of that, is what I've been teaching on, the dispensational premillennialist, and they consistently distinguish between the nation of Israel and the church and believe that the church will be raptured before the tribulation, and that is what they refer to as Daniel's 70th week. So if you're looking at it from the historical premillennial view, they don't distinguish between the nation of Israel and the church. But the dispensationalists do. The dispensationalists see the nation of Israel as God turning to during the days of the tribulation, and the church being a separate entity that is raptured out of the world. When you come to Revelation chapter 21 and 22, there are about 5 points here about the eternal state of what we often call heaven. If you will, I'm reading from chapter 21 of the book of Revelation in the first 8 verses. John said, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth." Now remember, this will be after the 1,000 years is finished. After the great white throne judgment of all the lost dead of all the ages. And then what happens? John said, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away.' And he who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I'm making all things new.' And he said, 'Write, for these words are faithful and true.' Then he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha,'" that's, "and the Omega." Those are Greek words, the first and last of the Greek alphabet. "I am the Alpha and the Omega," which is speaking about the beginning and the end. "I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my people. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So tonight, I want to speak for a few minutes about these five things about the eternal state, or what you and I often call heaven, the cremation of the present heaven and earth. You see, before the new heaven and the new earth can be created, then the present heaven and the present earth must be destroyed. And so the old heaven and the old earth will disappear. And the Bible mentions this event several places in the Bible. If you're writing it down, it's Psalm 102, verses 25 and 26. Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 4. Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 6. Matthew 24, verse 35. 2 Peter 3 and 10 and 12. And Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Now, Isaiah said in Isaiah 51, verse 6, "Look up to the skies above and gaze down on the earth below, for the skies will disappear like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a piece of clothing. The people of the earth will die like flies, but my salvation lasts forever. My righteous rule will never end." Matthew 24, verse 35. Matthew says, "Heaven and earth will disappear." Jesus is speaking, "But my words will never disappear." 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. "The day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire. And the earth and everything in it will be found to deserve judgment." You see, the destruction, this destruction is going to occur before this great white throne judgment in chapter 20 and verse 11. And if you can only imagine, as the great white throne judgment is there and the inevitable punishment of those lost of all of the ages, and they will witness the entire universe going up in smoke, this sudden disappearance as it flees away, and God will show His power, and God will show the futility of all that the lost of the ages have craved and cherished on this present existing earth. And by the spoken word, God simultaneously will break up every atom out there in the cosmos, and the entire universe will disintegrate. Many respected commentators and theologians believe that the present heaven and the present earth, as you and I know it today, a lot of respected commentators and theologians do not see this heaven and earth being destroyed, but they see it being recreated, renovated, transformed. But Mark Hitchcock says in his book, here's the issue: will this present creation undergo renovation, or will it undergo recreation? Will there be a major cosmic renovation, or will there be a universal destruction and a rebuilding? And he goes on to say, while there are good arguments for both of those positions, he says his take on it is that the Scripture is teaching that creation will be totally dismantled and then put back together again. And he agrees that the earth is going to be renewed. It's going to be restored during the millennial reign of Christ, where there will be peace on earth. It'll be a paradise restored for 1,000 years. But at the end of this 1,000-year reign, it appears, he believes, according to the Scriptures that he gives, that it'll be, the earth will be burned up, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Now, the Bible describes what we might call uncreation. In Revelation 21, notice verse 1, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there's no longer any sea. Now remember, the Greeks spoke about three heavens. The first heaven is out there where the clouds float, the birds fly, the first heaven. The second heaven is where the galaxies and the planets and the stars are, the sun, the moon, the stars. The third heaven, way beyond the second heaven, is where Christ himself resides today. Now, whenever you see this, what this has to say, in fact, the New American Standard that I've been reading from says that heaven and earth will have passed away. The New Living Translation says heaven and earth will have disappeared. Another translation says it will cease to exist. Whatever the wording is, it means that the present creation that you and I understand is going to go out of existence. And here in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, he uses the same Greek word when it says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. So it's clear that these things, the tears, death, sorrow, crying, and pain, that they've disappeared at this point. They're not simply renovated or made new. So to be consistent, we should give the same meaning to this word where it appears in Revelation chapter 1. And because of that, the notion of destruction and just renovating and recreating seems to be the destruction and God just creating this whole new heaven and earth. Hitchcock says in his studies, he believes that's the simplest, most straightforward reading of the text there. John Walvoord, who has written extensively on end time events, he said the most natural interpretation of the fact that earth and sky flee away is that the present earth and the sky are destroyed and will be replaced by the new heaven and the new earth. This is also confirmed in Revelation 21:1, where John sees this new heaven and this new earth replacing the first heaven and the first earth. Frequent references in the Bible seem to anticipate this future time when this present world will be destroyed. And so Dr. Walvoord goes on and he gives those scriptures that explicitly that the destruction of this present heaven and earth is physical. It would be most natural, he says, that the present heaven and earth, the scene of the struggle with Satan and sin, should be displaced by an entirely new order that will be suited for eternity. The whole structure of the universe is operating on the principle of a clock that is running down. Dr. Walvoord says, what could be simpler than for God to create a new heaven and a new earth by divine decree in keeping with his purposes for eternity? Chuck Swindoll describes it well this way. This isn't a sequel. It isn't simply a re-edited version enhanced with clearer sound, brighter colors, and a smattering of digitally enhanced special effects. This is no Reddit. It's a remake. The destruction of the present created order will make way for the new creation, and the creation of the new heaven and earth is mentioned in only four places in the Bible. And that's found in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17, Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 22, in 2 Peter 3:13, and here in Revelation chapter 21 and 1. So we're going to have this creation of the new heaven and the new order. And God is going to put this world back into the way he wants this world to go. Jackson sang so well a few moments ago, I can only imagine. You can only imagine what that's going to be like one of these days. Well, let's look at another point. What are the conditions of this new heaven and this earth? Now, the Bible doesn't tell us a great deal about the eternal state, but what the Bible does record is exciting. It's the place of perfect or perfection. The eternal state that you and I will live in forever one of these days will be total perfection. And a lot of people wonder, a lot of people never realize this, that if you die in the church age for the last 2,000 years, since the day of Pentecost, your spirit will go to God who gave it there in the third heaven. That will be a temporary heaven because we read here there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth one of these days. I believe it will be the foundation on which the holy city, New Jerusalem, that the Bible says coming down from God out of heaven will rest upon the foundation of this new heaven and this new earth. Where do the people go that are lost? Where do they go? Well, they go to a place called Hades. It's the place of the grave, but it's a place of torment and punishment. And their eternal state will eventually be in the lake of fire for all eternity. I think oftentimes throughout the years, most of us have failed to either be taught this fact that the Bible teaches, or else we've just never really considered it much, and perhaps it has been taught, but I think a lot of times people think we're going to forever be up there, not according to the Bible. It's the temporary abode for those that are saved. Hades, where those that are lost reside tonight in a place of torment, in a place of consciousness. That will eventually, someday, they will stand at this great white throne judgment as they see the heavens melt away, and they'll be consigned to the lake of fire for all eternity. And so temporarily, when a Christian dies that knows the Lord, their spirit returns to God who gave it in the third heaven, somewhere out there way above. I believe Jack Impey used to speak about it being somewhere beyond 186 trillion, billion miles and beyond. So if you can fathom that in your mind, that's where Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father tonight, making intercession for you and for me. So one of these days, where will the eternal state of heaven exist? It will be upon the new earth that God is going to create. That's where it will be. I can't even imagine. No wonder the Apostle Paul said when he was caught up, he didn't know if he was in the body, out of the body in this experience, but he said it was too unspeakable. It was so incredible that there were no words that he could utter to speak of what heaven is going to be like. No wonder he said, eye is not seen, ear is not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness will dwell for all eternity. And the new heaven will be the foundation on which the holy city comes down to rest over there in Jerusalem, in the new city of Jerusalem that we looked at in some of those Psalms this morning. There are three things that will be there one of these days in the eternal state. The holy city, new Jerusalem. God himself will dwell amongst us, his people. And the third thing is there will be righteousness on the earth. I was reading an article today about the jab that the nation wanted everybody to take. It was written from a medical standpoint, from a website that comes on my phone. And one of the major comedians who had really believed in the vaccination until he took it, and then he had all kinds of health issues that he's still experiencing. And he spoke about the lies that were told to people and how people fell for it, accepted it, jumped on it. And now they're finding all of these people that are dying from various things, various maladies. And I don't want to go into all of that because I know there are people that believe differently about that, and you certainly have your right to believe whatever you choose to believe about all of that. But when I think about a new heaven and a new earth, wherein will dwell righteousness one of these days, I'm thankful, I'm grateful. There are going to be 12 things that Hitchcock mentions that will not be there. No more sea. Whenever you look at the sea, because all the chaos and the disorder that was symbolized by the sea during ancient times will be gone. I mean, they looked at the seas and the oceans and they saw those as being chaotic and disordered. In fact, if any of you kept up with world news this past week, astronomers have found, as I understand, underneath the core of this earth that you and I live in, that there are oceans, there's water that is way beyond the water that is in the lakes and the seas and the oceans and the rivers that presently you and I have. So there'll be no more sea one of these days. We're told here in Revelation verse 4, no more tears, because all of the pain, the suffering, the grief, the sorrow, the hurt will be removed. Thirdly, there'll be no more death, because death is swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God, the resurrected Christ. Revelation 21 verse 4, no more mourning, because all sorrow will be perfectly comforted. Revelation 21 verse 4, also no more crying, because joy will reign supreme. No more pain, all of the diseases will be expelled. Whenever I think of diseases, you know, the Bible speaks about the beast of the field. I know someone right now with leprosy that's had it for a year because of an armadillo. You do know they carry leprosy, don't you? If you don't, you better stay away from them. And I know that they have worked with this individual and they cannot cure it. And the incredible suffering that this individual is going through. And I know other people that have been scratched by cats with cat scratch fever. That is a horrible situation as well. The beast of the field, the book of Revelation speaks about, if you can only imagine, during the days of the tribulation, one of these days, all of these diseases that are going to be rampant from these beasts of the field. I was reading an article today. It was frightening. I thought, well, what do you eat? It was speaking about chicken and pork and beef and all of these things, that salmonella and all of these various pathogens and contaminants come from. And the way that our food now is being processed and growth hormones injected into these things. I can understand why people want to be vegans. I can understand why people want to strictly be vegetarians, but yet it also talked about the seeded vegetables as well. I thought about what this says, one of these days, all these diseases will be expelled. No more thirst, because every desire will be satisfied, according to verse 6. Verse 8, no more wickedness, because evil will be banished from the earth. No more temple, because God will be everywhere. No more night, because the glory of God will shine. No more closed gates, because God's door will always be open. Isn't that wonderful to know? No more curse, because the death of Christ has lifted it. Revelation 22 speaks about that. So based upon this comforting list, some have described heaven as the blessed place of the no mores. No mores. Stephen Lawson has compiled an expanded list where of no mores. He says, there will be no more funeral homes, no hospitals, no abortion clinics, no divorce courts, no brothels, no bankruptcy courts, no psychiatric wards, and no treatment centers. There will be no pornography, dial-up porn, no teen suicide, no AIDS, no cancer, no talk shows, no rape, no missing children, no drug problems, no drive-by shootings, no racial tension, and no prejudice. There will be no misunderstandings, no injustice, no depression, no hurtful words, no gossip, no hurt feelings, no worry, no emptiness, and no child abuse. There will be no wars, no financial worries, no emotional heartaches, no physical pain, no spiritual flatness, no relational divisions, no murders, and no casseroles. I don't know what we're going to eat, but it's going to be good. Amen? Because he's creating a new heaven and a new earth. And if the paradise that he created for Adam and Eve would have sustained them, I can only imagine what it'll be for us. He goes on to say, there'll be no tears, no suffering, no separations, no starvation, no arguments, no accidents, no emergency departments, no doctors, no nurses, no heart monitors, no rust, no perplexing questions, no false teachers, no financial shortages, no hurricanes, no bad habits, no decay, and no locks. And there'll be no tornadoes. There'll be no earthquakes. We will need never to confess sin, never need to apologize again, never need to straighten out a strained relationship, never have to resist Satan again, never have to resist temptation. It will be a perfect eternity. Can you only imagine one of these days? Well, another point of this eternal state is the capital of the new heaven and the new earth. As John looked at the new heaven and the new earth in his vision, notice in verses 9. In verse 9, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls, those are the last seven judgments, full of the seven last plagues, came and spoke with me. Now get the picture. This angel, one of these seven, comes to John and speaks to him. And this is what this angel says to him. Come here. I will show you the bride. Folks, that's the church. That's everyone that's been saved in the past 2,000 years. Come here. I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. The church is the bride of Christ. He died. He gave himself for the church. I love that hymn. We don't sing it very often, but in this modern post-world that we live in, but I love that song that we used to sing when I was a kid. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by power in the word. I love that song. Oftentimes that comes to my mind. Now, notice he says, come here and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away, verse 10, in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Now, right there, I'm going to stop and finish this part on Wednesday night. I want you to get the phrase because it's so vitally important there. He said, John is standing there in this vision of things to come. And one of these last seven angels that's pouring out judgment on the earth says to John, come here. And he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem. Get the picture so you know that I'm not teaching you an untruth here. The heaven where your loved ones are tonight. Notice it says that new Jerusalem is coming down out of heaven from God. The eternal state of heaven. There's a temporary place called heaven tonight. There is an eternal heaven. And the temporary heaven is up there, out there, some 186 trillion billion plus miles. That's where your loved one is tonight, if they died in Christ Jesus. But one of these days, that holy city that he's gone, when Jesus said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God. Jesus said to those disciples, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And he's been doing that, by the way, for 2,000 years. And Jesus said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you'll remember one of those disciples said, Lord, we don't know the way. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. So if you want to go to heaven someday, you got to go through God the Son to get to heaven, because God robed himself in human flesh and came to this earth as the Redeemer, the Messiah, Jesus. We sing Jesus Messiah. Let me tell you, when Jesus went back to heaven after the resurrection, 40 days later, Jesus told those disciples as he's making his ascension, he told them that to wait, to tarry in Jerusalem until he sent the promise. What was that promise? The guarantee, the Holy Spirit, the third person of God, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, God the Holy Spirit, one God, operating in three different ways. And tonight, he is in our hearts as the Holy Spirit. But one of these days, when this new heaven and this new earth is created, after the 1,000-year reign, after Satan is released from the abyss to try to get those who have been born through that 1,000 years to follow him, or they will follow Christ. And then will be this great white throne judgment. Satan's going to be, of course, thrown into the lake of fire where the Antichrist and false prophet reside, all of the lost dead. The Bible says, and the sea gave up its dead. All of those that have died throughout the ages that are lost are going to be resurrected. They're going to be judged there at the great white throne judgment, and they're going to be consigned to the lake of fire for all eternity. Where are the lost dead tonight? They are in a place of torment and punishment, but nothing compared to what their everlasting torment is going to be in the eternal state, where they will one day be cast into the lake of fire along with Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. You do know that hell was created for the devil and his angels. Unfortunately, a third of the angels chose to go with Satan. Their free will, they were given free will to choose, and they chose Satan. And so I think that what you and I are seeing today, with all of the explosion of the aliens and the motherships and all of this stuff that's been out there in the news all week long, I believe these are the demons that are out there that are creating all of these problems and all of these issues. You do know that Satan, according to the Bible, is the prince of the power of the air. And so, one of these days, all of that is going to be cremated, if you will, and he is going to create a new heaven and a new earth, which will be the eternal existence for us in the new heaven and the new earth that he's going to create for us after this present heaven and earth disappear. God bless you for being here tonight. Would you stand as we pray together? If you need to come with heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking about, we're just going to let Ken play through a verse. And if you need to come, would you just let the Holy Spirit speak to you tonight? God's people said, amen. Thank you for being here. Be sure and remember game night tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, Fellowship Hall, for all of those of you that come for game night. And be sure and invite someone to come with you next Sunday morning for Easter Sunday, amen. And looking forward. Are you looking forward to Easter Sunday? Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you. Please be safe. Ken, did you have something? Were you saying something? Oh, okay. All right. Well, amen. 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 Turn around and say amen. That means so be it. God bless you. Be safe going home tonight. All right.